Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Michelle Murray, and I'll be your host. You are listening to Shell's 3 Cents, where ordinary people, just like you and me, face their interests, concerns, fears, and curiosities by participating in engaging, witty, and sometimes pretty downright funny dialogues. So thank you for tuning in today. So as we get started, I just want to say that Bob Baker, iconic puppeteer and co-founder of the longest-running children's theater in L.A., has passed away. So our sincerest of condolences to his family. Also, former Orange County politician Carlos Bustamante pled guilty this week to sexual battery. He was accused of cornering female co-workers, groping them, and then exposing himself to them. So his sentencing will be in January. Hopefully justice was served in that case. And on another note, it seems that yesterday's hit-and-run accident down in Riverside was actually a case of mistaken identity. It seems that this woman hit a pedestrian on purpose because she thought it was her husband's mistress. Well, eventually, the woman turned herself in after a little prodding from her son. And her son has told media that the mom suffers from some mental health issues that she hasn't had taken care of. And both he and his dad say this is completely out of character and don't know why she even thought there was a mistress. So we'll see how that turns out. But she has turned herself in and agreed to make restitution to the woman that she hit. If you're going to be in Hollywood today, there's a few road closures and some parking restrictions that continue into the weekend. They'll actually expand into Sunday. They're supposed to end today, but they'll go into Sunday. So on Hollywood Boulevard between La Brea and Orange, and also Hollywood in around the Highland area, that whole area is currently a tow-away zone. So be careful. Watch where you're parking, and for goodness sakes, abide by the signs. Now, I don't know how a number of you are spending your Christmas holidays, but just like I wish you for Thanksgiving, I hope that you get to spend it with those that are near and dear to your heart. But I also hope that we all can give thanks for our blessings. So I want to start by saying a big thank you to those who've come out and helped with my son's project, Project Warm Up. To date, his project has distributed about 1,320 blankets, not to mention coats, hats, gloves, socks, food, and lots of other little goodies. There's another 200 people that will be able to help next week thanks to your contributions of your time, items, and money. We sincerely appreciate your help on this project. This is a project my son started. He's an Eagle Scout, and this is a project he actually started when he was doing his Eagle Scout project, and it's something that just kind of carried over. And we've made it a permanent project. So if you'd like more information on how you can help someone through this wonderful project, give us a call at 516-418-5940. 516-418-5940. Or you can check out Nickelodeon actor Kendall Murray's fan page on Facebook for more details. Just go to Facebook and you can type in Kendall Murray and get his information. And there's always information about how you can help. Primarily it operates out of Los Angeles or in his hometown of El Paso, Texas. But I really love this project because it's about it's not about giving a handout. It's all about giving a hand up. And every recipient, they're not just given things, but we actually go in and screen them for employment, you know, employability or benefits, suitability as appropriate. And then my son and I would take it to the streets, you know. People that may have otherwise not been helped are getting assistance to help keep them off the streets for good. So please consider joining us in this endeavor, even if you only have an hour a week to spare. I'm sure there's somebody that will be grateful that you did, including yourself. I'm sure you'll be glad that you did. So that brings us to today's show. Today's show is going to be one of those topics, but you know me. Those are the topics that we discuss the most. And today's guest is noted author, Curtis Butler III. Curtis, are you on the line?
Yes. Hello. How you doing, Michelle?
Hi there. Great. Good to talk to you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. I think most of my guests know that you were the author of a fabulous book on your journey with PTSD. PTSD, My Story, Please Listen. But tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yes. I did my time in service, El Paso, Texas, United States Army. I did First Armored Division, 401 Cav. I was also a homeless veteran twice in the city, the lovely city of El Paso, Texas. Then I came out this way to Atlanta, Georgia. One of my high school buddies, Allison Anderson, she told me that her fellow soldiers said that they would help me out here in Atlanta, Georgia. Half of it was true, because the VA out here is almost identical to the same VA in El Paso, Texas. They give you your benefits, and then they falsify things in your records to have you lose your benefits. So then we have a new book coming out, because everybody know I have PTSD, so now they want to know, what am I doing with the PTSD now? I'm not going to say the name of the book, but everybody right now is waiting for the book to come out. It's a good read. It's about 8-9 chapters. We're going to be doing it in audio, soft cover, and hard cover sometime the middle of next year. And that's it.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a mouthful. That's a lot. And if I know anything about you, there's probably a ton more that you're not telling us that you're actually involved in.
Oh, yes. My editor said, you know, this give you a portion, you know, because they're probably listening right now, so they want to make sure that that I don't give too much. You know, it's like a good movie. You know, you don't want to tell the ending, you know, yet.
Right.
So, you know, you want everybody to, you know, be, you know, waiting on the edge of their seats to see, you know, what's going to happen next. So that's what I'm doing.
Right. So we'll be looking for that. Let me backtrack this a little bit. You said you were a homeless veteran. How can this be? Because, you know, we pick up a newspaper, we watch on the news, and word on the street is there's programs and services to keep vets off the streets. No veteran has to be homeless, and many towns are saying they've eradicated veterans homeless. This is not the case. You know, how does a veteran wind up on the streets?
Well, you it's like this. We go through a lot of red tape. You know, they give us the hoopla. You know, we're glad to see you. We support our veterans. You know, we get the parade. And then after the parade, we get the BS. You know, they run us around like cattle. You know, I do a lot of homework on this stuff like this because I'm one of the advocates for the veterans and soldiers. You know, how can we have 377,000 soldiers, you know, heroes that come back home and die on their own home field because they can't get seen by the VA? They throw the paperwork away. You know, they say we can't help you or this and that. And you look at the Iraqi war and the Afghanistan war, there's more people that died at home than they did in the war zone. And nobody's being held accountable for. They still get a paycheck and they get a bonus. Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you scratch your head and say,
And why do you think that is? Why do you think people aren't being held accountable?
Well, you know, people are gonna, you know, when I say this, they're gonna be like, what did Bullard just say? Okay, one, it's not our government fault. And the reason why I say that is because we, the people, like I said in the Constitution, we let them get away with a lot of things. They got better medical care. Their family members are not in the war zone. They're taken care of off the backs in sweat and tears and blood of the veterans and the veterans' family members who have to go through, you know, the situations and stuff and the disabilities when these guys and these young ladies come home. And like I was saying the other day, if we all come up in numbers and say, hey, no, we know we're not going to allow our government to do this stuff because we have an overpaid, high-priced government that people treat like gods. And it's, the last time I read, there's only one God. He's in heaven. So, you know, we need to stop doing that. You know, they get themselves 100% raise. They work 115 days out of a year. Their range pay us $179,000 to $450,000 a year. You think about it, the Senate has 435 members, the House has 100 members, so that's a total of 535 members. You think about it, when we cut a check to them every month, that's about $2 to $3 trillion a month. They always say that we need to cut. Well, we need to cut their pay and cut their government spending, and we need to have the IRS monitor the spending of our government. You shouldn't have to spend $50 for a light bulb. One light bulb, $50? For real? Come on, where they do that at?
Exactly. They do it at the federal government level.
Yeah,
definitely we could manage our resources better. And I say we collectively because, you know, we're all responsible. Every taxpayer, every person who's ever said, no, I'm not going to vote, my vote doesn't count, my input doesn't matter. And the reality is it does matter. If everybody were to be a little more vocal, I think that we'd see some changes.
But one thing with the veterans – go ahead, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one thing with the veterans is I speak to a lot of them and they say, well, you know, we say something about the government, you know, they're going to mess with my benefits. Well, I say, well, if you're not a one percenter, they already messing with your benefits. You know, I mean, you already know that. So, they said if it's not broke, don't fix it. It's been broke, tore up, chewed up. But we have to stand up in numbers and say, hey, now, you know, how are you guys getting paid for the rest of your lives? What doors did you kick in? Who did you see get blown up in the war zone? Who you seen get killed, shot? You know, how many funerals you've been to? I tell people here that I probably, you know, went to more funerals than my congressman here and senator here in Atlanta, Georgia. Combined together, mm-hmm. with the last couple of ones that I went to, I couldn't even cry because I ran out of tear ducts. I was like, you know, I just sit there and just look like a mummy, like, you know, stunned like a deer in the headlights. And I'm like, you know, mm-hmm. we're the constituents. If you have homeless people in your sector, if you're a congressman, a congresswoman, senator, why should you get paid? You're getting paid for doing a bad job. At a regular job, you can't get paid for doing a bad job and then get paid for the rest of your life. You know, like I put in
the
first book.
Have you posed this question directly to a congressman? Because we actually posed this question and are still awaiting a response. We've yet to receive a response, but I'm curious.
I've written stuff and went down to Congressman David Scott's office. I've written stuff down to Senator Isaacson's office, and I know they can't read your packet, stuff that you sent them. They said, you know, we're looking into it. But then you got to look back and, okay, if you looked into it, then you should have found the same discrepancies that I found. So how could you look into it and didn't find anything, but we looked into it, and we found like 20 different incidents, like the first incident. This is going to shock everybody. Title 38, Federal Rules and Regulations. I have a CMT exam doctor. They looking at Facebook, CNN, ABC News, because, one, I have a book out, PTSD, My Story, Please Listen. That's at the library on the sixth floor in Atlanta VA Hospital in Decatur, Georgia. They know I'm the guy, the one homeless veteran that paid it forward December 3rd, 2012. So my name was already out there. What she did was went into a blog when I was in El Paso, Texas, when people didn't like when soldiers didn't like that I wrote the book. And she used that to stop me from getting my benefits. But under Title 38 Federal Rules and Regulations, you can't do that. So right now my paperwork and stuff is under investigation through the policy officers, which in the military is CID. And mm-hmm. so that now that lets you think, that lets you know, like, wow, you know. And me saying that, but the point is, for every veteran, black, white, orange, green, purple, brown, whatever, get your C file, request your entire C file, just like that. Entire
C file. Now, some
of
the veterans, they might not understand what a C file is. Explain to them what a C file is.
Okay, the C file is your claims file from when you go when you go into the military, you go to the MEP station. That's when your records start. That only if you leave the military. When you leave the military, they tell you, we're going to go ahead and send this to your home of records or wherever you're going to live at when you leave the military. So when it goes to that VA hospital, you make sure that you get a copy of that. In El Paso, Texas, your place is, the regional office is in Waco, Texas. You probably can get it at Waco, Texas, or the VA hospital. You can ask for that. But make sure that you get it all and sit down and have somebody help you dissect your medical history, because there's something in there that they're missing, something in there that they didn't see, something that they might have wrote that downplayed your disability so that you can't get your benefits. And, mm-hmm. you know, the VA in the regional office, they're supposed to help the veterans out, but they're doing more harm than anything. You know, I told one doctor, I said, I'd rather be back in Baghdad. At least I know who's shooting at me. And, you know, he just looked at me. And I'm like, you know, what's the problem? You act like, you know, y'all, we owe you. You know, it's the reason you have a job because of us.
Mm-hmm.
And,
awesome.
You know, they forgot.
So let me ask you this. So aside from getting that CFAL, what would your suggestions be to a veteran trying to help themselves, you know, to navigate the red tape and get through all this? What advice would you give a veteran?
Okay, I'm going to give you pieces, bits and pieces of what I put in a new book. I put that the VA, the DAV, other organizations that help out the Purple Heart, Wounded Warrior Program project to help and for the regional office to help these young men and women, you know, learn about Title 38 federal rules and regulations, the, you know, what they need to have, the who, what, when, where, why. You know, don't say, well, the paperwork you did, it was written wrong. There's no such thing as written wrong. When somebody's dead, they dead. You know, at this point blank, well, you didn't use the right words. Come on. I mean, you know, where's your sensitivity at? You know, help us so that we can help you, because the red tape is due to these guys looking at, well, the first 20 we're going to deny, but the next 21 to 40 we're going to pass. You know, all it's a numbers game. And you know, people right now are probably saying, well, Butler's not politically correct. Well, today's term of that means lying to the American people, saying, hey, you know, yes, we are overpaid government. You know, yes, we are screwing you guys around. Because there's no way that we should have 377,000 veterans die because they can't get in to see somebody.
Waiting healthcare, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then you got, and then you have 600,000 homeless veterans. Mm-hmm. You know, how? How do you have that? The Army right now is 538,000 strong. I put in my book a couple of years ago, we approximately have 250,000 homeless veterans. I said the next couple of years, it's going to double. Mm-hmm. You think about it, 600,000 people. How many people in El Paso, Texas have, and take away 600,000 people, and then take away another 377,000 people that died for no reason? That's 977,000 people. That's a lot. And nobody went to jail? The president, he should be making license plates right now. All the presidents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of them. You know,
what do you think about the Veterans Choice Program?
I don't really know too much about it. I know that they were thinking about, they are getting ready to do something here in Atlanta, Georgia. But what I did on my own was Once I have my benefits before they took it, I have Medicare, and mm-hmm. I went to an outside hospital, which told me, you know, we're gonna go ahead and send you a consultation to get MRIs and see a neurologist, because one month I had like 16 migraines in 1 month. That was in February. And I'm like, you know, wow, 16 migraines 1 month, the next month, 9 to 10 migraines. You know, yeah, something is wrong there. But the VA, they're like, well, we don't have enough people. Okay, that's not our fault. That's like saying, well, we don't have enough people to go fight this war. We still fought it anyway, so stop making excuses and do your job. Help the veterans get their benefits. Stop trying to screw them over for a paycheck in a bonus. The bonus is seeing that somebody that a veteran that did their time in service, whether it's 2 years, 30 years, or 40 years, and you see them, they progressing on the streets, because now they got the benefit to take care of their family members. They're not homeless. They're not struggling. You know, stop mm-hmm. using the, you know, race is like, it's like a two-edged sword. We're going to give it to you, then we're going to take it away from you. And then now you got to fight back. And, you mm-hmm. know, like me, I was 100% total and permanent with individual unemployability. So I put in for another disability because they didn't give us a playbook that says, well, when you're 100% total and permanent with individual unemployability, meaning you can't work, due to Social Security, they said, nah. Your exam doctors, they said, nah, you can't work because of your migraines. You can't work because of the PTSD. Okay, mm-hmm. so you go and put in for another claim, and then they'd be like, oh, we're going to take your benefits away from you. Again, where do they do that at? 100% total permanent means 100% total permanent with individual unemployability means that if Mr. Butler go and put his Social Security number down on a job application, I'm going to have some officers come to arrest me and lock me up. It said, okay, now you just did fraud to the government. Now I'm going to federal penitentiary. Now I lost all my benefits. So if I'm 100% total and permanent and I got another disability coming to me, remember, I'm getting older and older, so things are going to be changing in my body. So how can you tell a veteran that, oh, once you're 100% total and permanent with individual unemployability, you can't put in for another claim? What is that?
Or if you do, we'll take the other ones. And I think is it not properly explained, or do you think it's the veterans don't pay attention that, hey, when you file for an upgrade, you could potentially have all your benefits removed? Because many veterans don't know that, and they find themselves surprised. And often they lose benefits because they've been so frustrated with the VA, they stop being treated at the VA. So according to the VA's medical records, well, you haven't been to the doctor in 2 years, so you don't need anything, when the reality is the vet has been either not going to the doctor or paying their own dime. So vets do lose their benefits. So what do you think about that? Like, what can a vet do to kind of deter that? What if they find themselves in that situation, what advice would you give them?
Okay, I'm in that situation right now, but what I do is all the outside doctors that I go to, I get those bills that Medicare pay 80%, I pay the 20%. I get all of the copies of what the doctor said, and what I do is I take it downstairs, because in Atlanta, Georgia, you go downstairs to the records department and have them place that into your records. And then you could also have that with us, as regional office, we also have to send that to them, because they claim that the regional office and the VA don't work together. But how is that so? Because in order to do a claim, you have to look at the records from who? The VA doctors. Mm-hmm. So when they said, well, if we don't work together, I'm like, okay, that's being politically correct again. I'm like, well, so if I didn't bring you the records from the VA hospital, how would I get my claim? So in other words, mm-hmm. in some cases, you do work together. So if you do have an outside doctor, they need to go ahead and take the bills the reports of the other doctors and have that placed into their records. The hospital and the regional office, because the hospital might not send a report over to the regional office, which your regional office is in Waco, Texas. So when y'all send the reports over, send it, and I know people going to be, like, upset about it, but send it certified mail where somebody signs for it. Mm-hmm. Cover your own butt. Cover your own butt.
Yeah, always. Always write down the name of who you talk to, and I know this is something that we hear time and time again, but so many people don't do it. And you need to document. You know,
everything.
I even go so far as I take my teenage son goes with me to most appointments because I have this fear that one day when I'm older and can't fight for myself, I'm going to need somebody to. So I've even gotten to where now I have him, he records conversations for me. He takes pictures so that there's no doubt who did I speak to, what was said.
Uh-huh.
And we go on, but, what a shame that veterans find themselves going to such lengths just to get basic baseline care. Let me ask you this, too. You touched on, okay, so you went to file another claim, and they went back and changed your compensation and took your compensation that I'm going to assume you were living on every month. Did you get any forewarning? Did the did the Veterans Administration even care?
They told me. They told me, well, we're gonna take this and this back because the stuff that they did in El Paso, Texas was incorrect. So when I'm looking, I'm like, this is one person saying this about all these doctors that I've seen. So this one person outranks like 20 specialists that I've seen. And I'm like, how is that? I said, something is not right with this issue here. I'm like, and as I'm saying, people, please read your file. You're giving the government so much of your money back that you earn. Yes, it's your money because they hate when you say, well, where's my money? It is. It's their money because they fought for it. They fought for it and they fought for it. They've seen people die for it, everything. Yes, it's your money. Benefits is your money. That means your medical, your check that you get every month. That's due to you. That is yours. And they told me, well, you keep talking about money. You're not talking about your disabilities. Well, that's part of it. That's a part of my disabilities. You messing with my paperwork so that I can't get my benefits. So that's another postpartum for my PTSD. So they want you to use words like that, so they know. So you know about the system. Well, see, the thing is, the system is not hidden from us. You can Google Title 38 Federal Rules and Regulations, COVA, which stands for Courts of Veterans Appeal. That's the high court that overrules everything. The Senate gave these guys a book on how the VA should run, and they're not even paying attention to what Congress wrote to the VA. Right now, it's a wild, wild west at the VA. And I stated, if you guys can't get it right, I said, then, you know, we need to come down there in front of the VA, the regional office, and have a sign up that says VA lying, VA is lying. Veterans dying.
Right, just like the website.
Just like the website.
Yeah.
Just like the website.
Absolutely.
Once they start doing that, then they'd be like, you know, ooh, I don't even want to go here. I work here, and, you know, man, they got the signs up, and I got to dodge these camera people, and, you know, people taking pictures.
Yeah,
I don't want to be seen, you know.
Makes
but the thing
think,
is,
absolutely.
Everybody at the VA regional office is not bad people, because I got a lot of friends that work there, but they not up where they can change the rules and regulations. See, we need people in office that's going to change the rules and regulations and do the right thing, and don't worry about how much money is being in their pocket.
Absolutely.
You know, you should sleep well when you know, man, you know, 10,000 veterans came through here. You know, they did a good job. You know, they fought for us. I was scared to fight, or I couldn't fight due to my disabilities, or I was the only child. You know, hey, you know, that's a blessing. Because when you look at it, if it wasn't for us, we'd be in chains black, white, orange, green, or brown. We all of us being changed right now, working for somebody. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be no VA hospital, regional office, no government. They need to wake up.
Absolutely.
They lose reality.
You're absolutely right. Everyone needs to wake up, and veterans, you in particular, need to wake up. Understand,
yes.
Do your homework, do your research, figure out what's going on and how to help yourself. And unfortunately, it seems we're out of time, but Curtis, thank you so much for joining us today. And hopefully we'll try to schedule a part two to this engaging conversation, because my chat room is lighting up here. People are really interested and want to hear more. So Curtis, I'll get with you and see when we can have part two scheduled. But this is Michelle Murray.
We'll do.
Thank you for listening to Show 3 Cents, and everyone have a beautiful afternoon.
He called her on the road from a lonely cold hotel room, just to hear her say, I love you one more time. And when he heard the sound of the kids laughing in the background, he had to wipe away a tear from his eye. Little voice came on the phone and said, Daddy, when you come home. He said the first thing that came to his mind, I'm already there. Take a look around. I'm the sunshine in your hair. I'm the shadow on the ground. I'm the whisper in the wind. I'm your imaginary friend, and I know